We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7, The Fan. The wind is blowing in Oklahoma, man. Anybody watching this PGA Championship? Right now, though, I'm excited to get to the BetQL guest line and bring in our friend, Tampa Bay Trey, Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter, at Tampa Bay Trey. Trev, thank you for making some time for us, man. I'm looking at your Twitter, and all I see are Tampa Bay Lightning tweets. I want you to know that as a Washington Capitals fan, it's kind of tough for me to go through the withdrawal right now, the joy you're having watching your team still play playoff hockey.
Yeah, it's hockey season. You know, like right when the draft ends, I feel like it's such a great switch. I get to kind of turn my brain off to football a little bit and sure. Get to focus on a different sport. But, you know, look, for everybody in the Washington area, I will represent Tampa and say that we'll get revenge for you guys. You know, we'll just knock the Panthers out for you.
That's what I want to see.
I would appreciate that. I sincerely would appreciate that, especially that little – Giroud, whatever his name was. But I'm going to get you back into NFL mode here for a little bit. I was looking through Pro Football Focus stuff earlier in the week, and I noticed they gave off-season grades in their entirety for the whole league, and the Commanders got a C-. They liked their draft a little bit more. The draft got a C+. So let's start with the entirety of Washington's off-season, and then – we'll dive into the draft specifically. Does C- sound about right to you for Washington?
You know, when I look at things for Washington, and Sam wrote this article, Sam Monson, who I think does an incredible job covering the league as a whole. And, you know, I think that this really boils down to the Carson Wentz move, right? I mean, like, you can look at what Washington's done over the course of the offseason, really the last couple of offseasons, and they have a really good roster, right? I mean, like, we went into last season thinking, hey, they haven't quite figured out quarterback yet. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick. It was Taylor Heineke. But the rest of that roster looked really good. We thought Washington was going to be a potential top five defense going into last year. Now, that obviously didn't pan out, but the talent doesn't go away. It was kind of just a down year for, I think, a lot of guys. And I still think that they've got the ability to gel together, to put together a really good defense. And I think on offense, they're certainly building. They're still looking for those superstars that they're going to put next to Terry McLaurin. But they're certainly hoping that Jahan Dotson is a good step in that direction. I just think that the grade overall just comes down to the Carson Wentz move. And they were a team that we looked at as one that could really upgrade at the quarterback position, whether it was going to be in the upcoming draft or at the free agency spot. But the guy that they brought in, I know Sam feels this way and a lot of other people feel this way, it just doesn't inspire you a lot, you know, with Carson Wentz, especially from how he ended his tenure in Indianapolis, losing to the Jacksonville Jaguars, not making the playoffs when that was a team that probably should have made the playoffs there. I just think there's just a lot of doubts towards it. So I think the C-plus grade, the quarterback position just holds so much weight is kind of what I'm saying here. And it's not like Washington's doing all of these bad things or terrible things, mm-hmm. like the organization's decision-making-wise when it comes to the roster going in the wrong direction. That's just one that probably going to hold them back, if you ask us honestly.
I asked this question, though, and I know Carson Wentz, and it seems like the Colts are trying to put all the blame on him, which is not right. You know, they had a lot of other people mess up, too. But, you know, the quarterback does get the bulk of the blame most times. Is it deserving that the way that people are looking at him? I know nationally they look at him the same way that a lot of people here look at him.
Yeah, look, and you're totally right. When you bring up the fact that the quarterback gets too much blame, the quarterback gets too much credit, right, when things go well. But, it is an important position. It does hold a lot of value. It's a player that on offense touches the ball every single snap, right? They're a determining factor on how things play out. But I think even more so than his performance, which Carson was fine last year. I think there were a handful of throws that probably should have been interceptions that aren't on his stat sheet that when people reference how he played last year, they don't take those into account. So I think that maybe the stats lie a little bit in that regard. Carson Wentz is an extremely talented quarterback. I don't think that that part is in question. It's really just how he left Philadelphia, now how he left Indianapolis. You got people not exactly caping for the guy, not exactly wishing him the best when he's getting out the door. And so
I
don't know. I always hate those things because, you know, you guys know this too. I've never met the dude. And so it's always so weird for me to know that that's kind of why these decisions are being made. But I've never met the man, never shook his hand, never gotten to know him personally. And so it's always weird for me to comment on those things. But it just feels as though outside of the football playing perspective, outside of the talent perspective, that's why there's just not as much celebration or hype for him going to a new location because of how it ended in the previous two spots for him.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've got to meet him and talk to him a little bit now. He seems just like a nice, regular dude. And I've met guys that my first meeting with them, you know, you're like, this guy seems a little suspect. And that's not the vibe there, but he seemed extremely guarded, like a guy that has, you know, been spurned in the last two places he was at. It'll be really interesting to watch with Wentz his development, because I think – athletically, the questions aren't athletically, they're mentally. And how's that going to unfold with a staff that I think is trying to put everything together for his benefit? What do you think about the skill positions they've added this offseason? We're talking with our friend Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus. And I would include Curtis Samuel healthy because that's how they're looking at it. And then you add Jahan Dotson. You add Brian Robinson, new running back from Alabama. I know how much draft stuff you do. What do you think of – I mean, just in the first and third round, you add Jahan Dotson and Brian Robinson. What do you think of those guys' games, how they can translate to the pros?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a really solid skill position group now in Washington. Certainly Terry McLaurin's the guy at the top. He's the superstar that the offense is going to run through. But outside of him – I hope that Curtis Samuel's healthy because I love that addition when they made it a couple of years ago. And so I hope that he really is able to get back to form. I think he's a great creative player. You can use in a lot of different ways. Jahan Dotson, smaller in size, but this dude made a living playing as an outside receiver. So you figure you can move him all around the formation, get creative there as well. I was a big fan of Dyami Brown. I saw Dyami Brown similarly to the way I saw Gabriel Davis coming out of UCF. Who I liked a lot and now has obviously butted into an incredible star in Buffalo with Josh Allen throwing him the football. So, like, those are guys that I really like. You've got Kelvin Harmon. You've got Antonio Gandy-Golden, right? These guys further down the depth chart that are still there that are good names. Logan Thomas, I think, is a serviceable tight end. You have Antonio Gibson. You've got Brian Robinson now. So I think that the skill position group is really solid. Like I said at the very top, I still think this team needs another superstar playmaker. Now, whether that's going to be Jahan Dotson or not, we'll see. It's hard to ask of that of a rookie. But man, if you give me this group and, I don't know, say they make a big splash at some point, like let's say Seattle's playing terrible, they want to trade DK Metcalf at the deadline, Washington gets in on it, they bring in DK Metcalf, all of a sudden, you've got Metcalf on top of that receiving group, a good creative running back room, a tight end that you can lean on. And as long as the offensive line holds up, that is more than serviceable. That is a preferred situation for any quarterback, for you to figure out whether Carson Wentz is your guy or not. So I like what Washington's building. I still think they need one more guy who is of Terry McLaurin's kind of caliber, that top 15, top 10, wherever you want to have him, offensive weapon, wide receiver kind of a player. And once they get that, I really do think that this skill position group in Washington is pretty complete, or at least it can compete against a lot of, if not all, the teams in the NFL.
Is that possible with a possible, with a looming extension for Terry McLaurin and how the Carson Wentz deal is to happen this year?
You know, that's people who get paid a lot more money than me are the ones who deal with the cap and the money. So, look, I've seen the New Orleans Saints for years be like, yeah, we're going to keep the winning window open. We're just going to kick it down the can a little bit. Tampa Bay is a team that I know obviously very well down there. They do a great job kind of allocating money, spreading money out to make sure that they're healthy and able to go get guys if it makes sense for them right now. Maybe kicking a little bit of money down the road, but not burning yourself too much, right? There's such an art to cap management. And I think that as long as you have guys who are creative and willing to kind of move money around, yeah, I know that they can't lose Terry McLaurin. They've got to keep him around. And certainly you're looking at some guys on the defense. There's some young guys that are going to be getting deals as well. So you've got to have that in the back of your mind too. But we've seen it too many times for teams in this league that they have been able to make it happen, if you will. Because if you want to sit here and you just go, I don't know if we can make it happen. Some other team is going to. And so I think that you've got to be able to find and make the money work. It's not like you can make total magic happen, but we've seen that across the league, that some salary cap gurus, if you will, are able to push money here and there, negotiate signing bonuses, move money, front load it, back load it, things like that. And so I'm not sure. If I knew the answer to that, I'd probably be a salary cap manager myself somewhere, because I know those guys make a lot of money and get a lot of respect around the league. But anything is possible, almost, is kind of what I'm saying here for these teams.
Gotcha.
Talking with our guy Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Tampa Bay Trey. So it's an interesting way you put it that they have to go get a superstar on offense. I was honestly going to open the phone lines about this on the next segment. There's a looming contract situation in Washington that's about to get very real on Monday when the teams report for on-field OTAs. Because Terry McLaurin's not going to be there. But that's everything we've heard, is that Terry's not coming once they get on the field because he's waiting to get a new deal. A.J. Brown just got paid $25 million a year, and I think he's worth it. 25 has become kind of the new number for these stud wide receivers. Mm. Trevor, can Washington pay Terry McLaurin $25 a year if he's not necessarily that superstar caliber?
Well, and you know, I don't want it to necessarily make it sound like I'm saying that McLaurin's not a superstar caliber wide receiver. I think that he is a heavily impactful guy. I just think that it's hard to do it alone, right? I mean, you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs did. Travis Kelce, considered to be one of the best in the world at what he does at his position. The same with Tyreek Hill. Both of those guys coexisting, and the truth of the Kansas City Chiefs probably would not have been the Kansas City Chiefs without both of those guys. That doesn't take away the fact that either of them are any less great, right? And that's with playing with one of the best quarterbacks in the world. That's just the offensive world that we live in now in the NFL, is you've got to have more than one guy. So certainly didn't – I don't mean to say that Terry McLaurin is another superstar, but they definitely need another one. Now, how much money he's going to get, I'm not sure. You know, you look at A.J. Brown's deal, it's $25 million a year. It sounds like that's what Deebo Samuel wants as well. You know, Chris Godwin got a deal that's right around $20 million a year. DJ Moore got a $20 million a year. Stephon Diggs sitting right at 24. So I feel like McLaurin is going to get somewhere. Certainly he's going to ask for as much as he possibly can. But I feel like they're going to land on McLaurin getting somewhere around $22 million a year. That's what I think. And I think that they're going to try to sell him, hey, Terry, let us go get somebody who can run next to you to make your life even better, to take you to the playoffs, to take you to the Super Bowl. Just give us a little less than what would be a market setting kind of a deal, up above 25, right at 25. I'm sure he's going to ask for that. And granted, he's got, I think, all the leverage in the world with Washington right now, because without him, that offense doesn't look like he can really do too much. So he has a lot of the power. He has a lot of the negotiation. I just feel like it's gonna land somewhere between 22, 23 for Terry McLaurin, if I had to guess.
That honestly sounds about right to me, because I love Terry, and he's a better person than he is a football player, and he's a great football player. But, like, you start listing off the names, and I don't know that he cracks, like, the top 10 at the receiver position just because there's so many great receivers. But to your point, he's got the Commanders over a barrel. If they can't get a deal done with him, if they can't show that they will pay up for their own guys with Terry McLaurin, a third rounder they drafted, developed, team captain, great guy in the community, great guy to fans, if you can't get this thing done, what the hell can you get done?
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I'm with you right there. And, you know, I would tell you that DJ Moore at $20 million, Chris Godwin at $20 million. Those are a lot more of probably the starting points or the aiming points that Washington's going to want to aim for, because you go, hey, you're around similar age of those guys. Your production is similar with those guys. Let's hit you right around there, maybe give you a little more. McLaurin's probably sitting there like, no, I'm talking like A.J. Brown money. I'm talking
right.
Davante Adams money, whatever it is. And I think that they'll probably get somewhere closer to 25 than 20 just because of, like we just talked about, the negotiation and the leverage that he has.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, when DJ Moore signed, the market's been reset. When DJ Moore signed, Christian, who's the kid that signed with the Jets?
Christian Kirk.
Oh,
right?
Christian Kirk, yeah.
He messed that up. Like, when that guy gets 18 mil, then Terry's worth 23, you know? And,
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
just market timing.
There's a lot of GMs that aren't going to be sending Trent Baalke a Christmas card this year because of that deal that they put out there. And even though the guarantees are more spread out, so it's not nearly that kind of deal that you think it is, the agents were still able to get the tweets out for Schefter and Rappaport saying, oh, it was this much money for this much money, and that's now going to the table for other guys. And so, yeah, you're totally right. I just think that right between 20, 25, I'm going to say 22, 23, that's probably where we land off for McLaurin.
Trevor, I think the owner of the Jaguars won't be sending Trent Baalke some Christmas cards after a few more years.
I don't know how anyone's sending him Christmas cards.
He let him take the number one pick this year, so I don't know what we're doing here. I'm with you guys. I thought that this was going to be a clean house change with Jacksonville, especially with them having the number one overall pick this year. And sure enough, Trent Baalke makes it, and he ended up getting his guy in Trayvon Walker.
How many talent evaluators across sports, not just in the NFL, but by and large, outside of some trade or a fluky lottery thing in the NBA or something, by and large, if you get the number one overall pick in any draft, it's a result of your team being awful. How many talent evaluators across sports get to make back-to-back number one overall picks? It just doesn't happen.
I think that outside of, you know what's crazy is that Urban Meyer being so bad in Jacksonville,
right,
I think actually saved Trent Baalke's job. Because if it was, I think a lot of coaches would have struggled last year in Jacksonville. A lot of coaches might have been in the running for the number one overall pick with the roster that Jacksonville had last year. But I truly believe that Trent Baalke was able to go to Shad Khan, the owner in Jacksonville, and say, we were never, ever, ever going to succeed with Urban Meyer. And I think that Urban Meyer, now don't quote me here because I'm not sure, but I think that Urban Meyer, a big reason for bringing him in was an ownership angle. Like, ownership wanted Urban Meyer in. That was a massive splash hire. It was the biggest news of the offseason. So I think that that situation being so bad, catastrophically bad, is actually why Baalke got to stick around, which is crazy.
Yeah, dude, wow. It makes a lot of sense. And it was almost like, yo, this guy ruined everything. Give me another shot to see if we can figure this out.
Yeah. Right, right.
Trev, real quick, who do you think had the best offseason in the NFL? Because I fear it's a team that plays just up the road from D.C.
Man, I think that, Ravens had a great offseason. I think that they had a really great job up in free agency and in the draft. They had one of the best uses of their free agency money, and then they also had a killer draft. They had an A-plus draft, one of my favorite in the league, and so many fantastic players. I think the Chiefs also had a great offseason. Obviously, like, you're losing Tyreek Hill, but that was a situation where I think that they were going to lose him anyways, right? I say mm-hmm. The Chiefs had a good offseason. They lose the best wide receiver in football, and it's kind of a crazy thing to say, but in a situation where he wanted out, I think they made up for it really, really well. And they got a lot back for it. They had a fantastic draft. I think they're reloading a little bit here. Man, the Chargers, too. Just right in that division, I'm just thinking of teams off the top of my head.
I was thinking the Eagles,
how about
too?
The Eagles?
Yeah.
I mean, Chargers, fantastic. Eagles as well. That draft, for them to come away with A.J. Brown and Jordan Davis in that draft. And then you get N'Kobe Dean as the cherry on top.
Dude.
Wild to me. Obviously, picking up James Bradbury recently is huge for them. I still think James Bradbury is a fantastic corner. But, yeah, Eagles right there in it as well. A lot of teams got better this offseason. It's going to make for a fun offseason, man. I know the NFC, a lot of talent has kind of been an exodus from that conference over to the AFC. But you've got some juggernauts over in that AFC conference. And, of course, you got Tom Brady. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got the Eagles up and coming. You got what Dak Prescott's going to do with the Cowboys. Obviously, the division you guys are in is never boring anyways. So, Lots right. happened, man. A lot of moves this offseason. A lot of teams getting better. A lot of new faces with some new teams. It's going to be an exciting season for sure.
Trev, we always appreciate the time. Next time we have you on, you're going to have to tell us what actually happened between Brady and the Bucks and Bruce. But that's a different day. We appreciate your time, man.
All right, Trev.
I'll tell you everything that you guys need to know, all right? But that's next time. That's a good teaser. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, bro.
Appreciate it, man. Give him a follow at Tampa Bay Trey. I think we got to have this Terry conversation, man. I think people got to get ready for what's coming Sunday night, Monday morning, when Schefter and Rapsheet and all these guys start saying McLaurin's not coming to OTAs. Like,
but
are we meant to?
He already stated that, though.
I know, but it's going to feel different when it actually happens. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I don't know that Commanders fans are a particularly confident bunch in the Commanders. I remain confident they get the McLaurin deal done and that it all works out. How confident are you? Let us know. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Hit us up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!